What's going on, family? Welcome to another episode of Tariq Radio. We're doing a late night broadcast. We're late night, but we are here making a do what it do. Shout out to everybody who stayed up to check out the show tonight. A lot of folks are piling on in the room. That's what's up. A lot of stuff we're going to talk about on tonight's show. So I'm glad y'all tune in. Shout out to all my people from overseas in the UK and other countries listening. I know it's daytime over there. And we're going to make it do what it do. Today we're going to talk about the grassroots awakening, because that's what's happening now. But what we're going to do, family, let's take that quick commercial break and we'll be right back on Tariq Radio.
Yo, you still ain't getting women? Really? Come on, son. You need to go to badboymembership.com and step up your game. What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game. And I'm telling you that if you really want to attract beautiful women, you need to go to badboymembership.com. This is where you get 45 through 90 minute step-by-step dating advice tutorials every month. Just sign up, follow the advice, and you'll get the woman you want. Go to badboymembership.com. That's badboymembership.com.
Yo, cupcake season is right around the corner, family, and you need to get your fragrance game all up in order. So you need to check out ashkicking.com. That's a black-owned business that sells all-natural health and beauty products, and it also has fragrance products. You can get beauty products such as body butter, hair moisturizer, face moisturizer, unique incense burners, incense sticks, scented candles, and so much more. So again, you need to check out ashkicking, that's K-I-C-K-I-N, .com. What's up, family? If you're looking to support a black-owned business, check out acandle.com. Now, Acandle is a black-owned search engine that focuses on us, and that's spelled A-K-A-N-D-L-E.com. So before you visit any other search engine, visit Acandle, because Acandle.com represents us. So that, again, is Acandle.com, A-K-A-N-D-L-E.com. Download the new album by hip-hop artist Alpha Leo. The album is entitled The Greatest, and it's available on iTunes, Amazon, and Google Play. You can get it right now. Alpha Leo actually ran for president in 2016, stomping for reparations, and he's going to be running again in 2020. So get the Alpha Leo's album, The Greatest, right now, iTunes, Amazon, and Google Play.
Get your hand out of my pocket!
Yo, what's going on, everybody? It's your man, Mr. X. Get your hand out of my pocket. Letting you know to catch our brand new podcast on SoundCloud.com/GYHOMP. Go to YouTube page right now. Subscribe right now. Listen right now. We on Twitter and we on Facebook and we on Instagram. We got the information. We're combining consciousness with activism. Don't be on the couch yakking at yak. Get out, do some real work. So check us out at Get Your Hand in My Pocket YouTube. I hope to see you there, because it's brand new, it's fast acting, and we on the ground. Trust. Yo, I only got one thing to say to you.
Get your hand out of my pocket!
There's a war going on, and don't get scared now. Peace.
The year is 2079. The futuristic nation of New Albion has been created to maintain a new racial apartheid system. There is a planned genocide that is going to target the nation's black population. A small group of black revolutionaries band together to launch guerrilla warfare attacks against their oppressors. Do they fail, or do they succeed? Find out the answer by reading the book, Avoid the Machines, the new novel by author Scotty Vasco. Avoid the Machines, now available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com.
Get ready, Atlanta and surrounding areas. Get ready, Atlanta and surrounding areas. King Flex Entertainment proudly presents Mid Slide Live in concert. Coming to the Center Stage Theater in Atlanta, Saturday, December 22nd, 2018, 7:30 p.m. Is bringing the funk party to Atlanta, performing songs from their critically acclaimed album, Egyptian Musk. Also performing, special guest, the APX. Atlanta, don't miss the funk party, concert event of the year. Get your tickets to see Mink Slide live in concert with special guest, the APX, at Ticketmaster.com. Go to minkslide.com.
You are now tuning in to the king of game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
You're going to hell, Shonda. Because you're a hoe.
Yo, we're back. Welcome back to Tariq Radio. I am Tariq Nasheed. Glad to have y'all tuning in. How's everybody doing on this wonderful late night? Real mellow, real mackish mood. We're going to chop up some very good game on tonight's show. And don't forget, like the commercial said, the Mink Slide concert in Atlanta, December 22nd. Everybody go to minkslide.com to get your tickets. I want y'all to come join us for the funk party. We're going to have a great time in Atlanta. If you're in Chicago, come to Atlanta. If you're in North Carolina, come to Atlanta. If you're in South Carolina, come to Atlanta. You're in Augusta, come to Atlanta. You're in Alabama, come to Atlanta. It is going to be a fun night. So minkslide.com. So let's get right into it, family. A lot we want to touch on tonight's show. For a lot of people who follow me on Twitter, I've been slicing and dicing people all day on Twitter. I've been going after necks on Twitter heavy. And I'm going to explain that in a second, but we're talking about how the grassroots, meaning the streets, meaning the everyday black people, you, me, the Melanoid 300, the grassroots, there's an awakening. I want y'all to feel that energy of the awakening of the grassroots in black society. There's an awakening and there's a rebellion against not only just white supremacy, but the minions of white supremacy that comes from a corporate level. There's a rebellion against that. And that's a beautiful thing. That's something that we need. And it's starting to take shape. And it's starting to be impactful. And that's why I do a lot of things that I do. I try to do things on a grassroots level that's going to be competitive, comparative, and dominating over what corporate society tries to trickle down to us. Because normally when things come from the top to the bottom, it's never really good for us. But when things come from the bottom to the top, that's a more genuine thing. That's something of the people. But you always have to be wary of things that come from the top to the bottom. Meaning, if people from the dominant white corporate society try to bring us something and tell us that it's some kind of movement or tell us that somebody's some kind of leader, we should always be skeptical. Y'all remember when they had that Coney shit some years ago that I called out a long time ago, that fine Joseph Coney, they were trying to create a black terrorist out of Joseph Coney. And just one day everybody woke up and every black celebrity and every other celebrity was online talking about, we gotta stop Joseph Coney. He's doing war crimes. I mean, just overnight this happened. They tried to make that thing a movement. And people were skeptical of it, and rightfully so. And the thing fell apart because we were calling it out. We were calling it out for the farce that it was. Coney 2012, exactly. That shit was a major farce. And you had us calling that out. Calling out the lie. So that thing quickly dissipated. But I just want y'all to understand how they will try to create a movement out of nowhere. And if you see a bunch of celebrities all in unison telling you to follow a hashtag or follow a movement. That's a corporate thing. That means these major corporations who basically they own and control the careers of a lot of these entertainers. You know, all the publicists and all these people are clicked in. So they tell them, hey, on Tuesday, go out here and promote this hashtag. And I remember with Coney, they had everybody doing that shit. So that's always a red flag. That's propaganda. That's not a real movement. That's nothing but propaganda. And then they were trying to get money, and they found out the a lot of the white cats who were behind it, they were scamming money. One of the people in that Coney thing, it was a white boy down in San Diego. I think he was running around naked. It was just craziest damn cat shit. You dig? But watch those movements that come from the top. And I'm glad that we have the rise and the awakening of the grassroots there to call stuff out that's coming from the top. When they're trying to bring us something, they're trying to bring us a movement, or they're trying to bring us a leader. The streets are now calling that out. And in order to challenge white supremacy properly, we do have to have that internal purge of fuckery that goes on that they bring us. And I'm glad that we're on the level now. We're getting on code where we know how to purge that bullshit. You know, as you know, they got D. Ray McKesson, and I'm not trying to beat a dying horse, so to speak, but he did another appearance in Chicago, and y'all know he went down to Ferguson, and they were running him out of Ferguson again. You had activists down there saying, hey, this dude does not represent us. He's down there with a bunch of white people doing book lectures, and the black people there saying, no, he does not represent us. And he's trying to take that show on the road. He went to Chicago, same thing. They got him the hell on up out of there too. Or they clowned. I don't know if they got him out of there, but they let everybody know that's not what's happening. Nobody's rocking with him like that. And I'm going to find the audio. Let me find the audio. I have the audio pulled up, but let me pull it up again. Hold on one second, guys. I want to find that audio of him where they are running him up out of Chicago. People are not having it. People are tired. Time is limited. There's a lot of stuff going on out here in these streets. Now, this is it. This is the audio of some activists out there in Chicago, you know, interrupting D. Ray's lecture at the University of Chicago. It's again another audience full of white people. They're introducing him like the leader of black society. And listen to this. Hold on. All these white people.
Good afternoon. I'm actually the original organizer, founder of the movement.
Now, this is the brother in the audience, all right?
D. Ray McKesson has never been affiliated with the movement. He was not working with Ferguson. He is a liar. We have all the evidence right here. You can check it out. TakingBackTheRadio.com. HandsUpDon'tShoot.com. He was not working with anybody. I was working with Darren Seals. I was working with Hands Up Don't Shoot. I started the movement. I'm a president's ambassador from Georgetown College. This man is a liar. Bowdoin College, you should be ashamed. University of Chicago, you'll be ashamed. I'm leaving. I called you guys before.
Listen to white people.
I told you.
You got to leave, sir.
This is the movement.
Well, they quiet.
Police
now.
Corruption victim right here. We didn't step down. We stood up. You're a sellout. You're a liar. You are a liar. You already got ran out of St. Louis.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
You got smacked and ran out of St. Louis already.
Now the white people about to go into victim mode. Whoa, I'm about to be attacked, dude. Oh, whoa. Now the white people starting to get, here they go with their old overdramatic ass. Whoa, oh my God. It's a black identity extremist. Oh God. Lord, but that's where we are right now, man. People are tired of the bullshit, man. People are tired of that bullshit. As we should be. These corporate Negroes, these minions of white supremacy being set down, set upon us to act as leaders and representatives of black society in order to change the narrative. They get out there running on a black ticket, and then when the conversation starts, they start talking about LGBT. They start talking about everything else, and that's deliberate, and the grassroots is calling that out. And that brings us to the situation that happened with me and Jamila Lemieux, former editor over there at Ebony, currently jobless from what I understand. You know, they got rid of her and, you know, ain't nobody else really fucking with her like that. But Jamila Lemieux, she's trying to get on, and she was trying to use the Cosby case to audition for a job from a white company. So she was really laying it on thick. The way these shea butters get jobs is by shitting on straight black men. That's their way of auditioning for a job, to show how much they can shit on black men. That's been her, that's her MO, her whole career. That's all she has done, is shit on black men. Straight black men in particular. Her and the whole Root, Ebony, all those people, that whole ilk, that whole crowd, they all do the same. Now, for years, they've attacked me. They've attacked my films. Jamila herself has personally attacked me and my films, just out the blue. She sanctioned some of her writers to write negative stories about me. I mean, dozens of them. Made negative tweets, negative writing. So it's been going on for a long time, this one-sided attack. But I don't trip on it. Normally, I don't have time. But like the meme says, today I got time, cuz. I had time this week. So Jamila was up to her old tricks after the Cosby verdict, talking about you Negroids. Oh, y'all want to be able to be like Kavanaugh, and I wish the worst to all of you, y'all co-signing Bill Cosby. So she's using her anti-black male rhetoric, and I retweeted it, and she had some words, and she started talking greasy. I mean, this woman, just her whole career, just vitriol towards straight black men. Using terms like Negroid, and that's not her first time using terms like that. Negroid to describe black straight men. Now that's a very interesting insult, and she uses it in a very derogatory way. So that's a very interesting insult to use, calling a person Negroid. See, that's different than calling somebody a nigga. When you call somebody a nigga, you're just saying that they're a victim of white supremacy, which is pretty accurate. We're victims of white supremacy. Now, when you start saying somebody's a Negroid, now you're getting into some of that white supremacist pseudoscience. That's really a scientific term. Negroid. That's what the white supremacist scientists used to. They used to use terms like that, the Negroid skull. And by the way, there's no such thing as a Negro. Scientifically, there is no such thing as a Negro. Just to be very clear, let me be very, very fucking clear. There is no such thing. Dr. John Henry Clark taught us this. There's no such thing as a Negro. That's a fake term. There's no such thing as a Negro. Now, you have people who have Afrikoid features, but there's no such thing as a Negro. That's some scientific bullshit that the white supremacists created. So that's a very, very specific term that white supremacists used in their science books in the late part of the 1800s and the early part of the 1900s. But Negroid, why that term? She's using the term Negroid. Hey, you Negroids are rape apologists, and she uses that term a lot. And when you use the term Negroid to describe black men, you're saying that brothers are another species from you. Shout out to the Philippines, somebody in the room from the Philippines. But she knew what she was saying, but a lot of y'all didn't catch what she was saying. And that raised my antenna. I said, I know this woman hates black men, but wait a minute. This is something else. And another thing that always raised my antennas about her, she would always mention her dad. She was always mentioned that her dad was a Black Panther and her dad didn't like Hidden Colors and her dad don't like me. She would always mention that kind of very, very casually. And I'm like, okay, well, she's so beneath my radar. I just didn't have time. But again, today I had time, cuz. But I'm starting to piece a lot of stuff together that this woman is saying. Negroid and her dad, because most people who use that type of vitriolic language towards black people, they're not really cool with their dad if their dad is black. Nobody with a black father is going to use the term Negroid to describe another black man, somebody who has a relationship with a black father, a positive relationship. Let me say that. A positive relationship. And she would always speak very positively of her dad. So somebody who had a positive relationship with their dad, they're not going to speak like that against another black male. So I'm like, wait a minute, hold on. Who the fuck is her dad? Who's this Black Panther? So I did some research and I found out who her dad was. David, his name is David, but it's pronounced David Lemieux. And I talked about this on my Sunday's YouTube show. He's a Black Panther, all right, but he was an alleged white man who was passing for black. And he was in the movie The Spook Who Sat by the Door. His character was Pretty Willie. And in the movie, he basically played himself. He was explaining how he's not passing. He is black. And let me play the clip for you one more time. Hold on one second. And in this clip, and you guys have seen it, I mean, he looks like a white man. There's nothing mixed or exotic or anything about him in this clip. If you look at this clip, straight hair, everything, just looks like a regular white man. And this is what he said in the movie.
All the yellow niggas, right? Look, man, I am tired of that. I am not passing. I am black. Do you hear me, man? Do you understand? I am black. I'm a nigga. Do you understand me? I was born black. I live black. And I'm gonna die probably because I'm black. Because some cracker that knows I'm black better than you, nigga, is probably gonna put a bullet in the back of my head.
Stick up.
All right. So that's David Lemieux, okay, in the movie The Spook Who Sat by the Door. All right, it's a funny clip to see a white man talking like that. And what it looks like is an old version of Michael Rapaport or somebody doing the yo yo yo. It's like he's trying to sound extra black. Yo yo yo, eyes black, eyes not a cracker, I is a nigga, understand me? I live black, I die black, I'm gonna stay black. You know, just real extra shit. So, with this guy, there's a lot of red flags. Number one red flag, he's a white-looking man passing for black. And who does that? When does a white-looking person, a person who can clearly pass for white, when do they start passing for black and why? That's a major red flag. I want y'all to really sit on that. I mean, yeah, he has that Post Malone thing. in order to make himself look black, he has to grow the beard out and he has to put those fake white man surfer dreadlocks in his hair to make it look like it has a little kink. But why? Let's just think here. Why would a person who could easily pass as white, why would they go out of their way to pass as black? What's their objective? Now, from what I understand, this man, his mother is white. They keep trying to say that his dad is Haitian, but they don't know who the dad is. They don't know anything about the dad. Once we did research, and I was posting receipts on Twitter where Jamila didn't even know. She was like, well, it's a possibility my granddad is Haitian, or it's a possibility that he's French Canadian. Now, these are her words. She posted this in 2007 on Facebook. So I'm bringing all the receipts, okay? I'm bringing all the receipts about this dude because she's the one who wants to make statements about black society. And she wants to big up her dad. So we need to know who her pops is. But now we got this dude where nobody knows who the father, who his dad is. He don't know. He said the dad left when he was very young, so he don't know. He think the dad is Haitian, which is bullshit. I don't think the dad is Haitian. I think it's a straight up white man. Most likely it was a French Canadian white man. So now this guy has to live in a black neighborhood. I think the white mom moved to Chicago, and you know, sometimes in certain areas around the country, poor white people had to live around the poor black folks. Everywhere you go, there's always a poor white family in a black neighborhood. Everywhere I lived when I was growing up, we always had the, as Chris Rock said, the white Mike. There's always a white boy named Mike somewhere in the neighborhood. The ones who couldn't afford gentrification, so they got left behind. It's always one of them. Think with me. Follow me. And somebody in the chat room made a great point. Haitian don't mean black. Real talk. So you got this dude who looks white growing up in a black neighborhood. I think he grew up in Chicago. Now, if he's living in a black neighborhood, you know the brothers are giving him that work and whooping his ass every day. You know that's happening when these cats live, these white dudes who live in these hoods, they become targets. So they're getting that work. I remember Howard Stern when he said he grew up in Roosevelt, Long Island, and His family didn't want to move, so he was like one of the only white kids there, and the black kids would whoop his ass every day. And look at Howard Stern now. Howard Stern has some of the most racist shit on his show. Howard Stern gets a lot of racist shit off on his show. But understand, this dude was living in a black neighborhood, so he was probably getting all types of work, whooping his ass. So this dude grows up with contempt for black folks. He has to fit in. He has to talk all that yo-yo-yo jive talk. But let me tell y'all something. These white boys who grow up in these black neighborhoods, they have utter contempt for black society. I want y'all to really understand that. They can't wait to get their weight up so they can turn on black society. Do y'all understand me? Look at people like Kid Rock. He was a poor kid from Detroit, rapping, trying to be like Run DMC and all these people. He had to fit in with the high top fade and all that bullshit. Kid Rock got his weight up. Now this motherfucker's rolling with Ted Nugent. He goes on stage with a Confederate flag. He has contempt for black society. You understand? Look at the movie. The movie just came out, White Boy Rick. The D-Boys in Detroit was bringing White Boy Rick around. Yeah, he's down with the yo-yo-yo bullshit. White Boy Rick was a goddamn informant from day one. Got the whole block shut down. You understand? These dudes who grow up these white-looking dudes who grew up in black society, I'm telling you, they have utter contempt for black society because they were bullied, they were punished, they didn't have the money to leave, so they were stuck. So if they get an opportunity to turn on black society, you think they don't take that? They can't wait to get out here and start snitching. I'm just talking in general. I'm not making no accusations. I'm going to let y'all put two and two together. So, this guy, David Lemieux, in the Black Panthers in Chicago in the 60s and 70s, late 60s, early 70s. Now, understand, in Chicago, with the Black Panthers, the Chicago police were on them. The Black Panthers were public enemy number one. The Black Panthers were public enemy number one. You had the COINTELPRO program where they were just eliminating Black Panther members. So now, come 1982, Jamila's dad, David Lemieux, he becomes a Chicago police officer. Another red flag. Okay? Now that makes everybody question, and I've asked the question over and over again, and people keep deflecting. How the fuck do you become a Black Panther and then become a police officer? How often does that happen? Forget about wanting to be a police officer. How they let you become one? You were in an organization. You were in an organization that was deemed radical. They deemed the Black Panthers the biggest threat to national security. This is J. Edgar Hoover's words. So then you leave the Black Panthers and you become a police officer, and that don't look suspicious? The same police force that was targeting the Black Panthers? You joined the same police force that killed Fred Hampton in his sleep? They had shootouts with brothers, and you join that organization, and ain't nobody supposed to say nothing? The same city where Fred Hampton was killed. Understand, you got Black Panthers all over the country being exiled, being murdered, being jailed. You know you got Black Panthers, or former Black Panthers, still on the FBI most wanted list. Asada Shakur, they still have her on the FBI most wanted list. Do you understand? All these people are in jail, locked up in exile, but this guy gets to become a cop. And we're not supposed to ask questions. So now David Lemieux becomes a cop. He's a police officer in Chicago. And I think they were trying to spin it as if he joined the cops so he could help the community. I think that's the way they were trying to spin that bullshit. But let me tell you something. David Lemieux, he didn't stop any kind of corruption or any of the tortures that went on in Chicago PD, because when he was in the force, remember, in Chicago, there was a whole big scandal where black people were being tortured. Like in the late 80s, early 90s, there were black people in Chicago straight up being tortured. They had torture rooms in the Chicago PD for black people. Do you understand me? He was around then. That's when he was in it. Not only did he not stop any kind of corruption, we pulled up his police records, because when I was going in on Jamila, giving her the hot fire, you had a couple of people trying to jump up and cape for her. And some of the receipts I was just sitting on. I wasn't going to bring all the receipts out. You know, I said what I said on my Sunday show, and it was what it was. And, you know, you had the usual pile of Shea Butters trying to cape for a bunch of nobodies. But then you had a couple of blue dots, meaning, you know, verified people like me. I'm verified on Twitter, but you had a couple of blue dots trying to jump in the mix. They tried to jump in the mix and cape for Jamila's fuckery. One in particular was Mark LaMoist Hill. That whole fuckboy. He tried to jump in the mix with his little old sassy self. So Mark LaMoist jumped in talking about Jamila. This is horrible what Tariq Nasheed is saying about you with his what did he say? With his baseless claims, girl. Tariq coming at you with his baseless claims. Now that really offended me right there. I don't mind this little sassy nigga's bullshit, but the baseless claim, nigga, I don't lie. I got receipts. So he said that today on Twitter, like I was coming at her with false and baseless claims that were so dangerous. Fuck out of here, nigga. If we got somebody out here like Jamila with her anti-black man rhetoric, who's working at these publications supposedly representing black society, propping up her dad, and this dude has a real funny style, questionable background, we should know about it. And when Mark LaMoist Hill said that, I said, okay, nigga, let me see if this is baseless. So I pulled up Jamila's dad's police record and posted some of that. And do you know this man had all types of abuses filed against him by citizens while he was on the force? It was like 83% more accusations than other officers that was in his department. This man allegedly was torturing and terrorizing black people in Chicago. Do you understand? This ain't conjecture. We had the receipts. We pulled up his own police record. His record. Ain't nobody spewing baseless claims. There were dozens of complaints against this man for abuse. He's beating the shit out of people in Chicago. If you want to see, go to my Twitter. You can see. And not only that, I had people from Chicago hit me up like, hey, we know this dude. Yeah, some of the old heads from Chicago was like, yeah, we know that dude. We used to call him the Glove. They had a nickname for that nigga. They said we called him the Glove because he would run up on folks and he would put on black gloves and start beating people. This is what people are telling me, all right? This is what people are telling me. And we can corroborate that based on the police report. Just report after report of him abusing people. So you can't prop this nigga up as some kind of hero in black society. Like I said, people like that, they have vitriol towards black people. So now we see it's documented that this man was abusing black people in Chicago, and we see his coon mammy-ass daughter shitting on black men day in and day out, talking about Negroid and rape apologists and toxic black men. So now we see where that comes from. And we're not supposed to ask questions about this dude? That's why many people, now I never said that he was, I didn't say he was an agent. But when you put two and two together, one would suspect he could be. Do you understand? And everybody's lighting Jamila up. And it's not just because of me. You know, the fact speaks for itself. And now she's on there crying victim, and she's on Twitter and whining, and that's what they do. They sit up here and shit on black men all day, and then when you hit their asses with their own words and receipts, then all of a sudden, oh, help me, woe's me, Lord Jesus, I'm being attacked because as a woman, as a black woman, oh, they love trying to hide behind all black women. As a black woman, still I rise, still I rise. Now she's Maya Angelou now. And then you got the niggas trying to cape for it. Now, let me go back to Moist Lamont Hill. You fuck nigga. Now, first of all, Moist Lamont Hill, nigga, you don't say nothing about nobody. You don't have the right, nigga. The way you and your ilk shitting on Dr. Frances Cress Welsing when she died. My dude, we're not trying to hear nothing you gotta say, bruh. We know you're a corporate ass kisser. Take your moist ass over there and keep on hosting the Basketball Wives reunion, nigga. We doing something else over here, dude. Remember, when Dr. Welsing died, Mark Lamont Hill and some of his moist little buddies were making posts shitting on Dr. Welsing, and Mark Lamont Hill was co-signing that shit. I posted the receipts on Twitter. A lot of folks are saying he's a Boulé dude because he's from, ain't Moist Lamont Hill from Philly? So he might be one of them Boulé dudes. You dig? Somebody said that he's Boulé. I believe that. He's out there in Philly. I believe that. But we know he shitted on Dr. Welsing and he was co-signing it. Then he tried to backpedal, and that's what I don't like about this nigga. He does little shit and then starts backpedaling and booty popping. He starts backpedaling with it. He does little slick passive aggressive shit and then starts backpedaling. Little old sassy nigga. And I mean, a lot of folks don't know another thing he did that was real funny style. Y'all remember when they had that book coming out trying to say that Malcolm X was gay? Do you know Mark Lamont Hill was one of those people promoting that bullshit? On his website, he was talking about, he did an article talking about Malcolm X was gay. Or he tried to put it in a question form, was Malcolm X gay? Then he started to talk about evidence of Malcolm X being gay. So Mark Lamont Hill, the white mommy and white daddy, helped co-opt him to push that bullshit. Don't forget that. You better Google it. Oh, now you don't have to Google. Just go to my Twitter. I got the receipts. So I'm just letting y'all know the type of nigga you're dealing with right here. My man Professor Truth went in his ass about a, not literally, by the way. Y'all gotta be, not literally, because, you know. But he got on him, got on his case. Professor Black Truth got on him about a year or so ago, I think. So Mark Lamont Hill, he's one of them known fuckboys. He'll talk blackish a little bit. Then when white mommy and white daddy come in, he'll spread them cheeks. You understand? But there was a couple of people trying to cape for Jamila. A couple of people I guess she worked with. I don't know, people she might have came up with out there in the publishing world. A few people tried to cape for her. Now, there were some people who I know, who she knows, who didn't want none of the smoke. Some people DM me like, hey, you know, I'm cool with both of y'all. Some of the Blue Dot people, some people in radio, so they didn't want no parts of it, because I'm like, look, I got time. Anybody standing up got something to say, you're going to get some of the shrapnel. You understand? So we was giving Mark Lamont Hill that work, as he should get it. And another cat kind of tried to chime in. This dude, y'all ever watch that show, which is very corny, but the Desus and Miro show that's on Vice, I think it's about to be on Showtime now, but Desus and Miro. So the Miro dude, he kind of tried to put a little subliminal in there to co-sign her, and I sent him a warning shot. I said, brother, look, niggas can get it now. Since y'all want to get in the mix, you can get it. So he stepped up with his little fuck shit. He stepped up. Like, yo, that's my friend. Fuck out of here. All that old cornball shit. So I lit his ass up too. Desus and Miro. They were called the Bodega Boys. Now they got the Desus and Miro show. It's basically Amos and fucking Andy. This Miro dude is corny as fuck. Now the Desus dude, I'll be fair, he don't seem like a bad dude. Both of these dudes are Caribbean. The Desus dude, he's from Jamaica, I think. The other fuck nigga, Miro, he's Dominican. He got the Dominican flag all over the place. He's got one of them Dominican receding hairlines. You know, he got him a little funny looking white wife that he got. So he's one of them Dominicans. He's one of the most Sammy Sosa ass niggas. And the Desus guy seemed like he could be cool, but the Miro guy is a fucking cornball. I mean, this nigga is mad corny. And I can't sit through that show. The corny, it's that white boy humor. These niggas do, it's that white boy humor. And what it is, because this nigga's Dominican, because he's the real corny one, the Miro dude, and I know you're probably listening, you fuck boy. Because he's Dominican, you know, they have vitriol towards black, native black Americans anyway. So what they do, they'll adopt the bottom of the barrel of black society, meaning the stereotypes. A lot of people who have Caribbean parents or non-native black parents, and I always talk about this, like the Loveys and all these people, they adopt stereotypical shit of black society. So they become caricatures. So they look at black society the way white supremacists look at black society. So when you're looking at the show, I know he's listening, by the way. So when you're looking at the show, it's always some old over-the-top, out-of-date slang, over-exaggerated niggotry. Yo, yo, fuck, what the fuck? Yo, suck my motherfucking dick. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's always some extra yo, yo, yo word to the mother shit. And it's mad corny. And it's that shit that white folks like. They like that type of shit. You understand? He's a whole fuckboy, that Miro guy in particular, with his funny-looking fucking white wife, his corny jokes, and he's been trying to, I've been lighting his ass up on Twitter. I mean, I want to read y'all some of this nigga's comebacks. This is some of this nigga's, this is one of his comebacks, and he's not even getting no retweets or nothing. This is some of his comeback. He was like, yeah, I halfway realized through scorching this DXL Steve Harvey suit rocking ass that nigga is nobody. I'm arguing with a dude who wrote white pickup artist books. I mean, this nigga's a fucking cornball. Nothing funny about this nigga. And the fact that he's on Vice, and I made a point about this. Remember, Vice was founded by an alt-right white nationalist named Gavin McInnes. He was one of the co-founders of Vice. So that's the first thing you need to understand about Vice. Vice was founded by a card-carrying alt-right white supremacist, Gavin McInnes, who is now the leader of the Proud Boys, who are now, remember, the Proud Boys, you got police officers getting fired and getting reprimanded for having ties to the Proud Boys. This is how dangerous they are. So this is the person who founded Vice. They try to distance themselves from Gavin McInnes and all that shit now. They try to distance themselves from the fact that they were founded by a fucking white supremacist. But understand, only last year there were charges about racism within the Vice Corporation still. So this is what you're dealing with Vice. So this is why you understand why they will put two Sambos or one Sambo on there with all that yo, yo, yo word to the mother outdated slang bullshit. With these corny fucking jokes, it's painstakingly hard to listen to that corny ass shit. It's Amos and fucking Andy. It's horrible. I don't really watch Vice like that. And understand, the white supremacists, they know how to play both sides of the fence. Understand that. They're very good at playing both sides. Vice will do shows or episodes that's very sympathetic towards black society. They will do things that are extremely sympathetic to black society. But then they'll do a fluff piece on a bunch of white supremacists. They'll do some fluff pieces on them. But I never forget. I remember when Vice first started coming on, they did some shit about Africa that was some propaganda, some real low-key racist shit where they were talking about cats over there being cannibals. It was some real racist shit. And I've always looked at Vice funny style because of that. But don't forget about that. Understand, the white supremacists will play both sides of the fence. Like our brother Neely Fuller said, they'll play both sides of the argument. But understand that dude, Miro, is another thing. He tried to play the I'm just standing up for black women card when he was trying to defend Jamila, because a lot of folks are going after him now. Like, hey, why are you trying to defend Jamila? And she done said all types of shit about black folks. Because understand, all these people who defend Jamila, these are black people hater too. They hate black folks too. They don't like straight black people. Don't let them fool you. They'll try to play black and act black when it's convenient. But that nigga Miro walks around with that Dominican flag all the time. They'll try to play black when it's convenient. So this Miro guy was talking all this shit about, well, Tariq was going after a black woman. Then I pulled up some of his tweets where he's calling sisters all types of black bitches. Yeah, you want to get a black bitch with kids, black bitches. I posted this nigga's tweets, well, and then he's tried to start nigga-splaining. Well, I got my niggas and I got my bitches. Let me let y'all hear a clip of this nigga, by the way, of Desus and Miro, just to give you an idea of the corniness. Hold on.
You got good news?
I don't know. That depends on what you mean by good and news, I guess.
What?
I said, take it back. I was like, don't get cute.
Wow. So it's like Al Gore all over again, huh?
Yo. Yeah, except instead of George W. Bush, you have Donald Trump.
Now that's Miro doing the coon laugh. Now, and that's what these niggas do. They tell corny jokes and then laugh hysterically at their own corny fucking jokes. It's that type of shit. I mean, that's what the show is. These niggas tell a bunch of fucking corny jokes and start doing the coon laugh. You're gonna suck my fucking dick.
Spicy on the burn.
I might
have to f*** up a Vice Land employee before I leave.
And then we try to kill our crew with the one-chip challenge.
Yeah, what up, bull bags?
Yeah,
you remember the one-chip challenge? We watched some news anchors earlier this week. They couldn't handle the spices.
Because they're wild buns, but you know who's not wild buns?
Not us, all right?
Okay, it's just... it's like two white dudes trying to act black. You know what I'm saying? It's a couple of white dudes trying to act black, and... Now, these dudes were on DJ Envy, well, on The Breakfast Club. Shout out to The Breakfast Club. I was just on there, and DJ Envy had to check dude. DJ Envy had to check the Miro dude, because the Miro dude, well, he had to check kind of check both of them, but the Miro dude, they were talking, you know, greasy about DJ Envy's wife. They said some things about her, and Envy had to check the dude on air. You dig? As he should. You dig? Let me play a little clip of that. Hold on. Let me play the original. Hold on 1 second. Let me play that. All right. This is them on The Breakfast Club, and DJ Envy had to check, dude, for, you know, they were talking greasy about the dude's wife.
DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got two guests in the building.
Why you ain't say special guests, man?
We got Dickhead and Pussy. Let's go.
Wow.
Envy, DJ Envy, come, Dickhead and Pussy.
Usually we are, I would always like to start off by saying, welcome, thank you for having us here at Breakfast Club. You guys have always been very nice to us, helped us through our career, elevated us with interviews.
My guys, what's all this spice?
What's going on?
We're going to start with this. You owe my wife an apology.
We owe your wife an apology? What do we do?
Absolutely. When you insinuated that she was there for the check. Yes, she did. But you said she was there for the check. That's what you said exactly. I heard it.
And so you
I
feel
the clip right now. Yeah, you owe her.
Right,
you
let's, hear, let's hear the.
Let's hear the. Let's hear the pop. Let's hear the clip.
Hold on, you.
We got the clip on deck.
Me since 15.
All right, let's hear the clip.
Hold on, I'm talking since 15, before I had a dollar. She was making more money than me. So to insinuate that she was there for a check or she's good with Envy's check is a disrespect to me.
Okay, can I hear the clip?
You said
you don't remember what you. He does drink Beck's for breakfast.
No,
he doesn't know.
No, we do four shows a week.
Seriously,
you said it on air. You said it on air.
All right, hold on. Well, let's hear it.
Everything was fantastic. Oh,
let me fast forward.
Talk to him.
Envy.
He did it with the echo shit, too. Like, yo,
I ain't really
I felt like a letdown. I felt like a failure.
Hold on, let me play.
Man, you can talk about me all day. You can make jokes of me. But when it comes about my wife and my family, it's a little disrespectful.
Envy would never do another joke about you.
You should know that. Because you got kids and a wife.
No, I feel you. I hear that. But you know what I'm saying? At the end of the day.
There is no but.
No, there has to be. There has to be.
There is no but when it comes to wife and kids. There is no but.
But look,
you can talk about me all you want, make fun of me all you want, but when it's wife and kids, there is no but.
Look at my Instagram comments. It's full of like, yo.
I don't look at your shit. I don't talk about my wife and my kids. You can play with that. I don't play with that.
I don't play with that neither. All right,
then you should know that it was respecting it. You should know that immediately.
Come on. You really thought that was disrespectful?
Yes, it was disrespectful. Yes, yeah. When my wife heard it, she thought it was disrespectful too.
Really?
Absolutely disrespectful. Absolutely.
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought we was cool.
I thought we was cool.
I thought it was like a jokey joke.
No, apologize. Joke.
It's a jokey thing when you joke about me.
All right.
You could joke about me.
I did not know that. I did not know that. We have never had this conversation where you were like, your boundaries is here. Don't do this. Don't do this. We're having a conversation right now. You're telling me. And now I understand. You're telling us you're not.
So, okay. So there you go. You know. So that just kind of shows how these niggas are, you know, some fuckboy shit. You dig? That kind of, because I'm assuming that they all know each other. I'm assuming that they all know each other, so that's probably why there was a problem. Because those guys know each other. You dig? So that just shows the kind of fuckboy these niggas are, and these are the kind of niggas that's defending Jameela. You understand? But the thing is, the grassroots, there's an awakening now. People are calling out fuckery. People are, in black society, we're starting to say no. In grassroots black society, we're starting to say no, enough is enough. Because we got these people out here that's leeching off black society. You got these people who use black people as a shield so that they could milk black society and then go get some butter biscuits from white mommy and white daddy, or Dominican mommy and Dominican daddy, or moist mommy and moist daddy. And they use us as something to leech off of. And black society is saying no. And I'm glad that we're finally waking up and enough of us are getting on code. And I want that energy to spread. We need to have that energy spread. Because all these people, especially some of these foreign Negroes, and I've said this many, many times from different countries, but especially these peripheral Negroes who are phenotypically black, but mentally something else. And you got these cats who come over from the Dominican Republic who have nothing but contempt for black society and black people. They got Sammy Sosa brain and they come over here mimicking and making mockery of black society for the amusement of the white supremacists. And that's what this Miro fuck nigga does. That's what he does. This nigga does a blackface impression of black society for the amusement of the white people who watch the show, because I don't know no Negroes who watch that show. Black folks don't watch that shit. I've seen a couple of episodes just turning the television and I'm like, this is the corniest goddamn thing I've ever seen. This is mad corny. And a lot of these people mimic and mock us so that they can get butter biscuits from white supremacist society. And then you got people's parents out here who's pretending to be black but look phenotypically white, and they're going into black society, joining these police agencies, abusing the shit out of black folks, and we're not supposed to ask questions. No, it's call out time. We got to call this stuff out. And we got to stop being afraid to call it out and purge these niggas from within. We got to let these folks know you can't rock with us. Look, we got boys out here, males, black males. I have a house full of boys. I have a bunch of sons. I get stories every day where people are sending me something happened to their children, something happened to their boys. They got reprimanded at school. Their teen son got arrested. And I'm just not going to sit around and let people shit on black American straight males nonstop. We're just not going to be your whipping boys no more. That's going to stop. And it's up to us to stand up and stop the shit. We're going to have to call this out on every turn. This whole thing where straight black men are the enemy, we're the enemy within black society and the enemy outside of black society? No. So we're going to have to start cleaning up shop. Because these people aren't playing with us out here. In Portland, Oregon, there was a brother who got shot. They said that he got into some kind of gun thing with some other people. I don't know the details, but a brother was in Portland, Oregon. Heard they shot the brother in the back about 10 times because they said that he shot some other people. I don't know how true that is. This is what they're saying. But they executed him on the spot. Whereas today, it was a white dude. I think this was in South Carolina. This just happened today. A white dude shot like 7 cops. One of them died. They brought that motherfucker in alive. They negotiated and brought him in alive. He shot 7 cops. You understand? And brought him in alive. Yeah, this was in South Carolina. So we got to understand what we're dealing with out here. We in here deep in the room, by the way. We got to understand what we're dealing with in here. And we're going to have to start G-checking some of the fuckery coming from these other groups. Because I'm tired of these people eating off us. Some of these people who look like us, but they ain't us. Some of these people are team white supremacy all day and come around us faking the funk and leeching off of us and using us as their come up. That's going to stop. Bedwinches leeching off of us, using us to get brownie points from white mommy, white daddy, that's going to stop. We got to call them all out. The moist niggas, the Mark Lamont Hills, who's black when it's convenient, and then cracking them butt cheeks open when that's convenient, that's going to have to get called out. Anyway, y'all, that's been today's episode of Tariq Radio. Everybody, don't forget to go to MinkSlide.com to get your tickets to join Mink Slide live in concert. Let me play that commercial again. Hold on. Oh, here we go.
King Flex Entertainment proudly presents Mink Slide Live. In concert. Coming to the Center Stage Theater in Atlanta. Saturday, December 22nd, 2018, 7:30 p.m. Mink Slide is bringing the funk party to Atlanta. Performing songs from their critically acclaimed album, Egyptian Musk. Also performing special guest, the APX. Don't miss the fun party. Concert event of the year. Get your tickets to see Mink Slide live in concert with special guest the APX at Ticketmaster.com. For more information, go to MinkSlide.com.
There you go. Y'all get y'all tickets right now to join us in Atlanta. All right, y'all. I'm up out of here, man. I'm going to holler at you guys Sunday. I will talk to you Sunday. You guys be good. Much respect to you.